I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root artist feature. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Romy Maloon. Romy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Happy to have you in today because, Romy, I would like to get your take on your cultural heritage and how that informs your art. So you are of South African heritage. You were born here in America, but to parents who came from South Africa. What did that mean to you growing up?
Well, I think a lot of my work actually has to do with that. I think there's an interesting place that happens with any sort of first generation American immigrant parents, and I do think there's sort of almost a disconnect with. I shouldn't say disconnect because maybe that has a bit of a negative connotation, but there's sort of a looking, more of an investigation of the culture that you're kind of placed into, because you are kind of automatically comparing it to that of a different culture. And, you know, my parents are South African. They emigrated here when my mother was pregnant with me. And what's interesting is how much they have maintained their South African identity. You know, the majority of their friends are South African, even in, you know, Marietta, Georgia. And, you know, there is this very active community that they're involved with there. And then as far as that pertains to my artwork, my practice, you know, obviously, in addition to just sort of that immigrant ideal, there is a really interesting space that comes from being, you know, born of white South African parents, you know, born under apartheid and having moved to the American South, where we obviously have our own history of racial segregation, you know, our own history that we're contending with and still contending with, and they do too. And an impetus for a lot of my work, kind of, especially when I'm struggling, when I'm not quite sure what the next project is or where to go, is a lot of times I will look at that and look at the history and, you know, a lot of my work tends to be about almost these stereotypes I have of Africa, you know, of like the animals or of, you know, wild beasts, or that sort of imagery really appeals to me.
How did your parents contend with leaving South Africa and then coming to America and then coming to the Deep South?
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you mentioned, there are a different set of circumstances here that they had to contend with, or just within the culture. So in your conversations with them, what are their thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think emigrating from your birthplace regardless is very challenging. You know, they left a very insular, supportive Jewish, white South African community to come to a space that, when they moved here, didn't really have that. So that in and of itself, I think, was very challenging. You know, and they left when apartheid was ending, and there was a lot of violence in the country, you know, a lot of anxiety, both of which I think exist still, but not necessarily to the degree that, you know, certainly in the late 70s and early 80s existed. And, you know, I think there was kind of a slow transition in terms of their feeling comfortable with American culture. You know, I think my mother says that now she'll go back and visit and feel almost like she can't, you know, relate to a lot of our family. You know, and they do live very differently. I was fortunate enough that I actually just got to go visit to South Africa, spent a week in Joburg and then 2 weeks in Cape Town. And the biggest, you know, disconnect for myself, I think, was that I did feel like my relatives living there live in gated communities. You know, they live a really segregated life, and not just segregated in terms of white and black, which it's still very segregated, in terms of, you know, in Johannesburg, it's dangerous and they don't walk around even during the day. You know, they're very contained to be inside. And I feel like as a result, they don't necessarily get to explore even their own neighborhood as much as, you know, here in the States, I feel comfortable going anywhere. You know, I think that's a real privilege that we do have, is sort of the feeling of that freedom.
So that was your first trip?
Since I was about 11.
Okay. So from an artist's perspective, how did the reality of that place match up with your imagination about what that place is like?
Well, you know, I was fortunate. I got to visit a couple artist studios when I was out there. I did get to check out a residency called Bag Factory and meet some really interesting artists from all over Africa that came to Johannesburg to make work. And I felt like the work that I was seeing there was very contemporary and was very activist minded. And I felt like, especially among the younger generation, they call them the Freedom Generation, there was a real kind of activist minded optimism, which was really wonderful. And, you know, in talking with my family, or, you know, relatives that have left, or even family friends that have left and now live in Marietta, a lot of them have sort of a pessimistic ideal of the country they've left, you know, because they left, because they had to, because they felt like they had to. But in talking with a lot of the artists that I met there, a lot of them were very optimistic about the future, which was lovely to see. And then just in terms of, you know, the reality of the physicality of the city, you know, it's a huge industrial, tough city. You know, it's kind of like Detroit on steroids, you know, which was very different than kind of this, you know, idealized safari Africa I'd kind of invented for myself.
Well, I've been to Cape Town, and knowing that you visited there and thinking about how artists respond to a place or any place, excuse me, when you were visiting and immersing yourself in that place, did you find it easier or more difficult to respond to a place and maybe think about your artwork, considering that you had been sort of disconnected from that place for a while?
Well, I truthfully feel like now I'm in a space where I'm kind of collecting all of the things that I experienced. You know, while I was there, I did a few drawings and things like that, but I didn't necessarily do any like physical work making in the space. But I will say I do feel like it was really, really invigorating, if nothing else, just to meet all of these different artists, which I did meet quite a few in both Joburg and Cape Town, that were just making really interesting work.
So you mentioned them earlier. What types of issues or topics are they confronting that you were able to, I guess, ascertain from your visit there?
Well, you know, I feel like there was a lot of in community engagement, like a lot of kind of placemaking. You know, I visited the neighborhood of Woodstock in Cape Town, which has become a real art neighborhood, which prior to that had been very, you know, run by gangsters, essentially. And they've now developed an artist residency there where they've invited artists from all over the world to do, you know, beautiful graffiti work. And in addition to that, do programs in the township of Kyalicia, you know, in order to activate the community to help produce these murals or introduce them to artists to kind of teach kids that don't really have any access to any sort of arts education. To understand that there are people that do this, like this is, you know, what they wake up every day and get to do, which was really wonderful. And also, you know, in terms of that placemaking, there was a lot of, I think, industry that was kind of abandoned in the late 80s in really all over the country. And there does now seem to be kind of a move to kind of turn a lot of these spaces into artist studios, potentially even, you know, develop them into other kind of living spaces, which is really wonderful to see, kind of like reclaiming these areas that had previously been abandoned.
So let's jump back to Marietta and being from Marietta and starting your career as an artist, coming from that place and I guess somewhat migrating further south to Atlanta. When did you first know that you were going to be an artist?
I don't know if it was like a conscious choice. You know, I think it was just kind of, truthfully, I think I've only ever become comfortable calling myself an autist if people ask, you know, in the relatively recent present. You know, it's kind of always, I've always just sort of been making and creating environments or doing drawings or whether it was when I was younger and performing, that's kind of just always had an energy.
And so now, as you consider yourself as an artist in this space, what does it mean to you to be making work in this moment right now, in this present?
Oh, that's a big question. In terms of like my relationship to Atlanta or just what does it mean to make art?
I would say, what does it mean for you to be making work in Atlanta right now?
Well, you know, I think Atlanta has afforded me a lot of opportunities. Truthfully, I'm fortunate enough to be involved in quite a few organizations. I'm with Dashboard Co-op. I work at Atlanta Contemporary Arts Center. I've had this great opportunity to be part of the Walthall Fellowship. You know, I think Atlanta is a city that if you want to make something, you can kind of create something almost out of nothing. You know, you can find someone who's interested in helping. I did this project for Elevate Atlanta, the city's program that they fund a certain number of public art projects downtown. And I did a project titled Calibrate, where essentially I built a big flower panel that wrapped a vacant building downtown. And, you know, did it all in about a month and a half, which logistics was pretty challenging just for the sheer scale of it. But because I was able to, you know, coordinate with so many different organizations and host all these workshops in different spaces and kind of activate people to help make the work and have people excited about the idea of having their hands on a piece of art that then would go onto a building, you know, I was able to produce that. And I think that would be challenging in a space where I didn't have this kind of supportive environment that I do here.
In terms of your work in creating environments, how do you start that?
Well, that's a good question. My process is usually admittedly kind of slow. I start collecting, and whether I'm collecting a, you know, whether it's a physical material for, you know, with that Elevate project, I was just really obsessed with synthetic flowers at that moment, you know, whether it was just sort of hoarding this specific material or whether it's a particular press mold that I'm really excited about. I kind of just start working in this repetition. And then I'm sort of collecting, whether it's, you know, researching a particular idea or space or place, it kind of unfolds from there. And then I work pretty fast. So then I sort of think like, how ridiculously big and what's the most challenge I can put forward to myself to produce this thing? Like, how big can I go? What's the like widest limitation I can set for myself? And then I'll work really intense for a period of, you know, whatever it calls for, 2 months even, just obsessive. And then I'll have to take a huge break and I can't make work for, I don't know, a few weeks, a month, 2 months, just to kind of reset. But a lot of times in terms of creating these environments, you know, I did a project for TEDx Peachtree last year with Dashboard Co-op. And I created these kind of life-size ceramic figures they had ceramic heads and ceramic arms and limbs. And they were in sort of this, you know, kind of strange environment that I set up for them. And, you know, now, but they all come apart and kind of put back together. And I've been really thinking about how I can utilize these figures again in a totally different context. So I'll do that a lot, where I'll build something, have these like weird elements sitting in my studio for a while, and then almost kind of piece them back together.
When you're creating an environment, when do you know when to stop?
Oh, that's always the question, isn't it? Well, I'll say I have kind of a garish aesthetic, truthfully. I really got into this sort of environment creation because I was working as an event coordinator for a catering company. That's kind of how I fell into that kind of, you know, this obsession with like glitters and flowers and this almost garish, I call it like an event aesthetic, you know? And the thing I really latched onto was I loved the idea of like building this big, garish, ridiculous thing for all of 4 hours, you know? And then you create this illusion, and you create this illusion with lighting, and you create this illusion with these, you know, props, for lack of a better word. And then, you know, you strike the whole thing in 4 hours. And something about that, like, kind of really intense work and that intense, like, temporal experience was really, I really latched onto, and have definitely pulled into my practice since then. So, you know, a lot of times I'll kind of put everything into it, and then I'll have to stop and maybe even take a picture and step back and walk away and then, you know, try and pull away. And I've been trying to do more of that. I think my instinct is to put everything in, and now I'm kind of trying to relearn to edit a little bit.
So in your personal life, or just in life as a person, what are your favorite types of events to go to?
Oh, like personal, like what do I want to attend on a Saturday night sort of thing?
Well, just from maybe an aesthetic standpoint, what do you appreciate? What do you, I mean, you talked about sort of the event that lasts 4 hours, then you break it down like a wedding or something. So,
yep.
So like what events do you like to attend that get you excited from that perspective, that you create something for the moment and you enjoy that moment and then it's over?
Well, you know, I work with Dashboard, and the, you know, installations that we produce are typically pretty temporal. And we've been showing a lot more performance work and things like that. So, you know, that to me is really exciting. I think, I'm really intrigued by people who do performance and kind of the boldness of just doing that. I love the idea of being able to experience something that really only exists in that moment. And, you know, and even with a lot of our other Wallfall fellows, there's quite a few performance artists and dancers. And I'm very impressed even with how they talk about their work. It's so much more about just that experience. And I almost feel like I'm still so married to the physicality of wanting to build something, of like using my hands and lugging these heavy things and how stuff fits together, that I almost couldn't bring myself to like rid myself of that and make it just about the experience and just about, I don't know, light, just about dance, just about movement. But I'll say, I'm not sure if that actually answered your question. But to go back to your actual question, I do go to a lot of weddings because I do events at Atlantic Contemporary Arts Center, and I was previously working for a few catering companies. And from like a purely, you know, ridiculous, over-the-top aesthetic, I love seeing that stuff. To me, it's like some of it is like really stunning and tasteful, but for me, I love the like bar mitzvah, over-the-top, like mylar, like single ridiculous centerpiece in the middle of a table that, you know, blocks half the view. Like that stuff to me is like so fascinating and ridiculous that that definitely appeals to me. But in terms of the funnest events, I don't know if those are the funnest events to go to.
So what inspires you the most about making your work here in Atlanta right now?
Well, you know, I think one of the great things about making art in Atlanta, from a purely practical sense, is just it's a really, you know, it's a really livable city. I can have a studio space separate from my home. I can, you know, I make big awkward things. I can easily travel those in my car. I have a good community of people that can help me do all of those things. You know, in terms of conceptually, I don't know if my work would be different if I was living in, you know, Ohio versus Atlanta. I'm sure that stuff is there. You know, I imagine, it seeps in somewhere, but I don't know if it's necessarily at the forefront of what I'm thinking about.
Romy, Maloon, let all of our listeners know how they can learn more about your work and what you're up to.
Well, you can take a look at my website, which is just RomiAuraMaloon.com. I'm also on Facebook. And I don't know. What have I got coming up right now?
There's a calendar, right?
Yeah, there's a calendar.
All right.
Calendar widget on the website being updated as we speak.
Romy, thank you for your time.
Thank you.